10-minute speaker is Randy from San Diego.
Good evening, Randy Alcoholic. I just want to say I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be sober. And thank you, gentlemen, that asked me to share 10 minutes of my time. Of course, naturally, I didn't want to. I was like, great. But that's whatever. It is an honor to come here and speak. It's by the grace of God I'm standing here before you, sober and able to give you 10 minutes of my time. My sobriety date's January 3rd of 2014. Home group's Cedar Street Men's. My sponsor's here tonight. And for me, what it was like, I was born in North Carolina. All my family are from the South. My mom, my dad's side of the family, they all have addictive personalities. They're all alcohol problems on that side. My grandfather died from it. Uncle's in prison. The other one just got out. My dad, he's just a heavy drinker. He thinks that, he always told me, you don't got a drinking problem. You just need to learn how to drink. And I lived up to that. I tried to. And, my aunt, she's a wreck, man. She's just that, she's a trip though. I love her to death. Go to family events and she's just the drunk aunt. She's just a scene. And, then my grandmother who's trying to hold it together, she's going to church and strong woman. And it's, you know, I look up to her a lot. And, she introduced God to me when I was a kid and I separated from it. My mom remarried and, as a child, I never understood, you know, why did my parents get divorced? Why am I living with this dude? What's going on here? And then we moved to San Diego when I was really young and had a southern accent. I was always getting picked on at school. And I was on Ritalin and people would be like, oh, you got to go take your pill. Go take your pill. And I'm like, they go say that real quick. And I'm like, go take my pill. And they sit, you know, they're always picking on me because of my accent. I never really fit in, I thought. And, my stepdad was an alcoholic, very violent. I lived in fear. I felt like I was walking on eggshells every day. I'd come home from school and I'd turn the corner and his truck would be there. And I'm like, fuck, man. And, you know, he was just a violent person. And so at home, I lived in fear, man. And you know, none of the, what I'm talking about, that doesn't make me an alcoholic, but... So when I would go to school, I had all this pent-up aggression and fear, and I just wanted to let it all out, and I didn't know how to, and I would act out in school, and I was wide open, and always getting in trouble and getting in fights, and I never did well in team sports. I was always getting in a fight with somebody. And at a young age, I was introduced to surfing, and that seemed like the only thing that worked for me. There was no one else involved. It was independent. Just leave me alone. So I can just go surf when I want to go surf. And I liked it so much. I would ditch school and come home and get an ass whipping for it. And, I mean, it was scary, man. There were times, you know. Anyway, I'm not getting into all that. I've got 10 minutes here. Let's see. So every day, I always wondered, you know, what is it? I don't remember exactly when it was when I started drinking, but there was always vodka in the house. And I learned how to be sneaky and be really dishonest at a young age because I didn't want to pay the price. My stepdad was always catching me in everything I did, and I was always come up with a quick lie, and then I'd get my ass kicked. And I found out how to. Well, I thought I was being sneaky and sneaking the vodka and filling it up with water. I remember he smoked charcoal filtered Terrytons, and he kept them in a carton in the freezer. And I would even go through the length of. We had a wood shop in the garage, and I'd get a razor blade and cut the glue tabs off the box, take out the pack, even cut the cellophane off the carton and sneak a cigarette or two out and glue it all back up, put it in the carton, put it back in the freezer and I don't know. And I still don't remember the first time I really drank when I really got into it, but I can tell you I do remember loving it from the first time I drank and it worked wonders for me. All the way to the last time I drank. And And I remember I would get sneaky, man. I had this little thermos cup, and I would fill it up with vodka and orange juice, and I'd skate to school and burn a doobie in the alley, and I'd go to art class. I'd surf PE in the morning, and I had an hour to come home, shower, and go to school. And I'd go to school tore up, man. And that's what it was like. I just drank, and I did whatever I could to drink. You know, I was willing to go to any length to drink, and I'd go steal it from the liquor stores, get Navy guys to buy it for me, running to the grocery store, steal it. I thought it was cute and funny to, hey, look at me, look what I'm going to go do. And I always wanted attention, and always had to act out and just be rebellious. And then so we moved to Mexico, and it didn't go too well. I got kicked out of the house when I was 16. And I lived in Mexico, and I came back here when I was 19, and I had no direction, I couldn't sit in a classroom, and drinking got out of hand. I got my first DUI, and I drank, and I thought it was a fun social thing, and for years, man, I was immediately in trouble with the law. I got my first DUI, I had a Mexican driver's license, and I actually ran into that friend today. He was laughing about it, but and I told just gave the cop my license. He's like, "What?" And I don't know. And you know, over the years, my drinking, I accumulated 7 DUIs. Yeah, I got 2 in one night. That's the insanity of it, man. In North Carolina, I got 2 in one night. Got picked up, went down to the jailhouse. The magistrate signed me out, and went back to the bar and just did what I do, and. You know, I have a middle obsession and a physical allergy. As soon as I put a drop of alcohol in me, I cannot stop drinking no matter what. I don't have a choice but to continue to drink. And I didn't learn that until I finally got busy with this program and started identifying. What happened was I finally drank enough, man. I drank just until it brought me to my knees, and a couple of gentlemen who are here tonight tried to help me get done, and they couldn't do it. Well, it started the wheel spinning, and they're like, "You can go to this really cool place, man. You can just check in there. You got a place to lay your head, and they'll even give you food." And they were talking about a fucking psych ward. I'm like, I'm thinking, man, I could do it like that, but it wasn't enough, man. I had to go until I had to go there, you know. And that was a couple of weeks later, man. I finally drank enough till I got there, and I was in a motel room in Shelter Island. And, wow, that went quick. If you're new, man, you know, for me, I had to drink to get in that pain to finally open my ears. And, you know, the promises are coming true, you know. And it wasn't until I was admitted to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic, and I realized that God was like the foundation of this whole thing. And through prayer and listening to my sponsor and doing what I got to do and just doing the simple work that suggested, I've met some awesome people that keep me in this loop, and you know, I'm here to share 10 minutes of my time for that. And that's all I got to say. If you're new, just get busy. You know, a guy told me when I first got here was, you know, time has run out. You know, do something about it. And I understand that. I understand that type of like harsh. You know what I mean? I don't get the soft, subtle approach. But anyway, my time up yet? So I don't know, man. I'm grateful to be here, and I love AA. Thank you.